Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. This, of course, will all be edited out.
I think it should start like this.
Well, I was going to wait until you started singing, but that intro just went on a little bit too long.
It does.
So we'll have to
hear
your lovely voice at a future moment in this podcast.
Okay.
My name is Richard, and my guests today are Anvil Chorus from Kansas City, and I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Hi, Richard. I'm Anna Cole. I'm the singer and pianist for Anvil Chorus. Thank you for having us.
And I'm Andrew Kirk. I'm the guitarist.
And Anvil Chorus is a four or five piece band?
Four piece band.
Okay.
The other two guys are working.
What's that?
The other two guys are working.
Working today.
Yeah.
And it's a busy day for you guys. Tell me about the rest of your day.
Okay, well, after this, we're in Lawrence right now, and after this, we're going to go meet with an attorney who will be shopping our EP, the one
and
we're listening to.
This right here is what he'll be shopping for. There it comes again. Just not timing that right. Well, at any rate, thanks for coming. And this is off an EP that you just put out, which is called Anvil Chorus.
Isn't that original?
Enough. And so your idea here is to obviously get your music out there, but it looks like you're not making a huge push or anything, you know, with the Kinko's copy art and whatnot.
Right, exactly. So, that's more for... It's saying hello. You know, we're like I said, we're shopping that, and hopefully label will pay for a full length and pay for all the fancy art.
Let's see if we can catch this. So this is the first track off the record. What's it called?
Excess in the Bottoms.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about Excess in the Bottoms?
Sure. Yeah. The lyrics were written at a loft party, and I was sober, and nobody else was, and pretty much the lyrics are about that, about watching my friends do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were, you know, sober.
What types of things, pray tell?
Drugs and hanging around or being with people that they wouldn't normally be with or leave with.
Right, right. Were you actually watching? That's
yes,
kind of strange and voyeuristic.
Yeah.
Almost.
Well, yeah. It is.
But it's good. It's art. Getting you know.
You know, I liked what I got out of it. So
yeah. Was that unusual for you to write with without the influence of alcohol?
Or well, writing with the influence of alcohol turns out really bad afterwards. So it's not unusual for me to write sober, but yeah, to write at a party like that, to be like the weirdo in the corner writing, yes, that's actually usually pretty social.
Do you have a poetic background, you know, wallflower sort of, you know, as your teenage years as the person in the corner writing poetry while everybody else is having fun?
Actually, I used to be like that. I was never a wallflower, but I definitely was the person that would stop and write something, but not so much anymore. It's when you're older, it's not really sociable to just be like, oh, I have to write this down.
Very thick bass line there. You gotta turn that way down and talk over that.
That's a keyboard.
Is it?
Yeah, yes. Synthesizer. Yeah.
Do you use a keyboard bass primarily or no?
No, our bass player has 10 pedals.
Yeah, really?
No. That's really the only song that has a lot of heavy synth on it.
Okay.
What were you saying, Andy? I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say primarily it's mostly just the piano keyboard is usually what we use most of, but that was one of those kind of one off things where I had this, you know, crappy old synth thing that we're messing around with, and just came out that really thick bass sound. I'm like, we gotta use that. That's
liked
cool.
It quite a bit,
so. Cool. Let's give a little intro to the second tune here. What's it called?
It's Burgundy.
And Burgundy, set it up.
Sad song. It's a sad song about my mother dying and my reaction with my father. That's an honest answer.
It's a good setup. Here we go.
It's pretty.
Thank you.
So, Burgundy. Tell me a little bit more about that.
What? Go ahead. Andy wants to say something.
Well, if you listen to the bass line, Byron, came up with that, and we instantly kind of heard shades of little Twin Peaks in there. So it kind of went by the nickname of the Twin Peaks song for quite some time until we came up with an actual title.
I think it's a good example of the spectrum of sound that we can handle and that we do encompass. I think going from Excess, which is a pretty kind of an angry song, to, and this is actually, it's sad, it's also angry, but it's much more mellow. I think it's a beautiful song. I think it's a very honest song lyrically for me. It's probably with this band the most honest song lyrically that I've written. So,
pretty collaborative process it seems.
With
seems
the writing, like, yeah, certainly. It's very much no one person comes in and says this is how we're gonna do it. It's definitely collaborative all the way. I mean, we are some of our parts. There's no doubt about it.
And typically, you know, the front person, which would be, I guess, yourself, would be the one writing, you know, the music as well as the words.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fit that description at all? Or?
I do. Yeah. I mean, as far as piano, so I lay back on some songs with the keyboards, but or wait till like the end of this song, you'll hear the keyboard come in.
Right.
But lyrically, yeah, I'm the only one that writes the lyrics.
Yeah, gotta throw down when it comes to the lyrics.
Well, so they're the only one that plays the guitar and the only one that plays bass and the only one that plays drums.
So tell me a little bit about your background in the Kansas City music scene. What other bands have you guys played in?
I was in a band called Trophy Wives, and it was a pretty much a punk band, and I fronted it. I didn't play any instruments, and I love those guys. They're great guys, but it just... I play three other instruments, and I can sing as well, you know, and I was just kind of sick of screaming. And so we just dissolved.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just me. It was everyone agreed. It just wasn't. After 2 years, it just didn't really go anywhere. And so we made a CD and never put it out and dissolved. And then this came about through Band Scramble, so...
Okay, that seems to come up in a lot of, you know, the press about you guys. So why don't you tell me the story firsthand, and we'll put it to death, you know.
Okay, we can put it to death. Cool. I just, you know, I think, I don't know, Andy, you go ahead. Say something. Well, I'm talking too much.
Just the whole thing that this band came out entirely by random chance. There was an event. Put on by a local Kansas City musician named John Ferguson, who decided it would be fun to get a bunch of Kansas City musicians together and have them put all their names in a hat and form what was like 12 or 13 random bands where, you know, you said, oh, I play guitar, so I can go into the guitar category.
There was four categories.
You know, vocals, bass, and drums. So you just put all your names in hats and they started drawing out randomly and made bands. And this was where we got together.
So, were you the only surviving like band out of this band?
There was another band that is no longer together.
Okay.
So we are the only one that survived out of it. I think it's just interesting because we really didn't. I didn't know him at all. Period. Not at all. And it worked. It just worked out so well. Byron was brought in. Our bass player was brought in later. Because our other bass player didn't work out, so we brought him in. But it's interesting how it came about, because when I first started playing with him, I knew that I was perfect, is what I wanted.
And this is what came out of it.
Indeed.
Place with
like you guys can bring the rock a little bit. Turn it up to 11 and go at it.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Who are some of your favorite artists these days? What have you been listening to lately?
On the way here, we listened to the French Kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I like the newer things, Viva Voce, Blonde Redhead. What about you, Andy? I gotta think of some more.
Oh, well, yeah. Just being the stubborn classicist that I am, I'm always a sucker for Yola Tango. As far as newer stuff that's been catching my attention, I don't know. I go back to things like Viva Voce was really impressive. Some of the, you know, I've had a real affection for the Microphones and Phil Elverum and that sort of kind of noisy indie rock with a weird edge to it that comes out of K Records and Washington and all that. But I seem to enjoy that.
What about Kansas City now? What are some of your favorite Kansas City bands?
I was just about to say go there because there's actually
it's
gotten a lot better. Same with Lawrence. It's interesting how our scenes sometimes it's really hard to. It's hard to get people at, you know, if you're a Kansas City band, to get people to Lawrence show and vice versa. So thank you. And hopefully you come to our Lawrence show sometime.
Right.
In the Pines is a Kansas City band that I adore. I don't know if you've heard them yet. They're really good. They just have a new album, American Catastrophe. We just played with them. They're kind of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I mean, it's... who else am I thinking of?
Oh, as far as
I'm just
bands?
Thinking list. Well, obviously, like, Stella Link is a band that I really like. Roman Numerals have a really good album out. Really good album out.
Yeah, there's Actors and Actresses. It's a Kansas City band that has just a huge
slow-motion
sound. It's great.
Slow Dive type. I don't know if you... I like Slow Dive, some people. I mean, it's very much close-your-eyes type of experience at a show.
Cool. Let's give a little attention here to number 4 on the CD.
Lust and Vice. Lust and Vice.
And you can just keep talking until the big kick comes in.
This is actually our first song we really sat down and wrote as a band. And we kind of went, wait a second.
We played this at the show.
We can do this.
Yeah.
So
we've kind of moved away from it a little bit, but it was our first. It's good.
People are really feeling the Anvil Chorus vibe. Where would they go on the web to find out more about Anvil Chorus?
Well, Richard, they would. I wish people could see your face. It's cute. You have a nice face.
Thank you.
We would go. I think the best place right now is our fake website, which is at www.myspace.com/AnvilChorus.
It's a very productive fake website, though, isn't it?
It's helped us out quite a bit with me getting shows. And
we just did a big blow up on this, you know, MySpace thing. You know, we're just talking about, is it living up to the hype? What do you think?
For bands,
it's a great thing.
Potentially can. I mean, it's.
I think as a band, you need your own website still. But I think as far as, you can, instead of just going up to a person and giving them a flyer, you can go, you know, you go, hey, this is what we sound like. Either you like it or you don't. And then if you do, I can notify you. So it's like a lazy band's website.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like handing a flyer to 2,000 people without ever leaving your pajamas.
Yeah, right. Leaving your house. It's a good thing. I mean, it's helped us get shows, get things like kids that, you know, they want to draw flyers, or they want to pass out flyers here. We can send them, you know, kind of sort of like a little street team type thing. No, I think it's very good for bands. I mean, it's also kind of a colossal waste of time, like on my personal space. Instead of calling my friends or seeing them, I MySpace them. And, you know,
right.
It's kind of, yeah.
And they give you an adequate smackdown, hopefully, for doing that.
I do. My friends frequently give me smackdowns.
So what can we expect next from you guys? What are you gonna? How are you gonna follow up this cheapo Kinko's cover art EP?
You know, I'd have to say so that the sound on it is excellent, and aesthetically, it's not. But like I said, we're looking for a label.
The music is what matters,
exactly,
and it's there.
And it's
here
there.
It is. So, yeah, continue. The next step is...
That's such a good part in the song. Richard.
I wish people could see it, the three of us sitting in this white room with, like, microphones while this exploding wall of noise is just going off, like we're in the middle of this rock show or something.
The next thing is we want to get signed. We're working towards getting signed. And I think there's been some interest already from plate people, and that's why we're getting an attorney.
Sure there has, yeah. Like, just keep throwing that out there, yeah.
Really, actually, there has. But, no, and obviously get a, that's fine for a demo, for an EP, you know, but we want to do a full length, and we have the material to do a full length.
Packaging and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, neat, like
barcode.
We'll even get, yeah.
A little label on the back, yeah. Maybe even a top spine sticker.
That'll be neat.
So the last track is a live one, mm-hmm. I believe, uh-huh. And it was recorded at
the Hurricane in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. It's called?
Bright White.
Okay. Well, as soon as it kicks in, I'll shut up, but in the meantime...
It might be a while.
There we are. What can you, like... Can you leak anything as far as where you're aiming as far as, you know, the music industry goes?
We want tour support.
Tour support. Cheeseburgers.
You know.
Have you done any touring on your own?
Just regional.
Regional,
St. Louis or going to Chicago, not, you know.
Any
so
bright spots therein?
I've got stories.
Yeah. Went to St. Louis and scared a few Jesuits.
In a cafeteria.
No, keep going.
We played at
St.
Louis University, and it was a great time.
And they paid us
kids,
a bunch of money.
But I think we were a little rough around the edges.
Well, they had a nice poppy band before us, which I like pop music, you know, don't get me wrong, but then it was us, and it was... Our bass player's like, where do you get whiskey? They were like, I don't know, I don't drink.
And they were scared, and they ran. Anvil Chorus, I think of Tiny Toons.
Uh-huh.
When I hear Anvil Chorus.
Looney Tunes, the theme to Looney Tunes is Giuseppe Verdi's Anvil Chorus.
But more specifically, Tiny Toons, because they had a Tiny Toon episode where there were anvils falling out of the sky and they run around.
To the music, yeah.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah,
was that an inspiration for you at all?
Actually, I was the name, I love how it turned out, but the name was just looking at a poetry book, and the two words were together, and we had to come up with a name in like 3 weeks, and the name was The Silent Saw and Anvil Chorus.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, it was because the guy in our practice space would be there at all odd hours doing nothing, and he had all these tools, so we figured he had a silent saw that he was, anyway.
Chopping up bodies with.
Yeah. So we dropped it to Anvil Chorus, and it also means, you know, a tie to change, a desire for change. And so it worked out well.
Cool. What do you guys do, if anything, besides this, playing
sit
music?
Sit around at home and... No, I'm actually a real estate agent.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
In Kansas City?
Uh-huh.
Would you have a specialty area that you focus on?
Residential.
Yeah.
Residential.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing that for?
Not very long, but a year.
Really?
Made
find an exciting career in real estate, right? Isn't that how they kind of sell that package, you know? You can have an exciting
career.
It is
exciting. I want to be on tour. I would drop it in a second, to be
quite
honest.
Do you think those are compatible? Can you
No, it'll be one or the other.
Yeah.
And I really hope the music wins out. But if it doesn't, then I'll do that.
What do you think advice would you have for people looking for a home in Kansas City right now?
For looking at a home in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Get one before the interest rates go up.
Okay. And right now, where are they at?
Where are they at? The homes?
Yes, yes.
In Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could tell them. They can just, you know, email me on MySpace. There's plenty in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Honestly, it just depends on your price range and what you're looking for.
That's interesting, though. I haven't ever met a musician who's a real estate agent. Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
It's really, it is a little different. I understand that.
Sure. And you seem like a good one. You're charming, and you know you can
slip them
your CD when they walk out.
Actually, some of my clients seriously have come to shows and like our music.
I bet.
Yeah.
And?
Oh, I sling copies for a living.
He works at Kinko's.
Kinko's.
Manages at Kinko's.
That's Rockstar.
And Byron's a mechanic. Our bass player's a mechanic.
Yeah.
As far as Kinko's goes, one of my more amusing things I ever saw was, I think it was Spin or someone was doing something. It was like Rockstar Personals, and like Stephen Malkmus went out and posted like this personal ad, and they went ahead and collected the responses. And there's this one response that's like, "You sound like a really nice guy. However, I'm concerned because you listed your profession as musician. Usually what that means is that you're 30, live at home, and work at Kinko's."
Andy's not 30 yet. Andy owns his own house. But yeah, I mean, we all have pretty normal jobs that we would leave behind in an instant.
Yeah, if we could.
Yeah.
Good to hear. So how has Lawrence been so far for you?
It's getting better.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing really well in Kansas City. We draw really well in Kansas City. I think it's just... It takes a while to break in here, and I think it's finally going to happen.
Then when you do, they leave, and you have to do it all over again.
New crop of people, yeah. Right? I just think, you know, and vice versa. Lawrence bands, like, when Ghosty, I know they do really well here. When they played in Kansas City, there was, like, 40 people, you know, or not even, like, 20 people, 20, 30 people. And then the next night they played out here, and there's 400, you know, so it's going well. We really like playing Lawrence. And we've got that December 17th show, which is a weekend when school's in with other bands that people will come and see. So it's getting better.
And that show is at?
Oh, The Jackpot.
And who else is playing?
Black Christmas.
Okay.
And somebody else. I don't remember who else right now.
That's okay. Yeah. Are your CDs available at Love Garden or Keys?
They will be once we have, because we actually have CDs that you know, have regular printing on them.
Are you selling these at shows though?
Yeah, or, $5. Okay. I mean, they play fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I just you're like, you made fun of my CD.
Oh, like, not the music, not the part that matters.
You love the music, right?
I love the music. Oh, it's
exactly.
Just,
I know what it looks like.
No, it's cool. So we are at the end of the CD. It looks like
we are. Yeah.
No, the song just keep going. May as well take whatever chance we can get. Oh, it's done.
We're coming down. Yeah, it's done.
Can you just keep singing for like 3 minutes?
Bright white. No, I can't.